Unit 5 is in the process of issuing $16.5 million in working cash fund bonds. This comes after the district decided to forego placing a referendum on this year's ballot. GLT's Mary Cullen talks with Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel about the need for a referendum in the future, redistricting plans, and more.
Last year, GLT asked about redistricting to better balance student loads among buildings. Unit 5 did a study. You talked about scheduling public input, and then the district backed off, saying that you thought you could make do. Now there's about 700 more students at Normal Community than Normal West. Do you still feel that way?
Actually, the enrollments are lower at Normal Community than they were last year. So that tells us that with what's been happening in our local economy and local community, that we'll not be able or will not need to look at redistricting.
Some NCHS students were asked to volunteer to give up their lockers. Some teachers are telling us they have concerns about safety from overcrowding in disaster drills, where the safe places might be overfilled. Class sizes at community have crept above 30 in many cases, even with online courses to soak up some of the overage. That can't be great. Why not bite the political bullet and redistrict to high schools, even if the elementaries are okay?
A good question. All of our high schools, actually, they'll find classes over 30. Not the best case scenario for us, so be it at West or be it at Normal Community. In regards to actual number of folks in a building, if you look at the fire department and what is allowed and not allowed, we're not even close to any one of the buildings. However, we do look at lockers. We do look at what's the usage of lockers. You mentioned that topic. In reality, students use those less and less. They carry things in their book bags. They very infrequently, some don't even, they'll never use a locker. So that was one of the solutions principal came up with to say, do we really need those lockers? No. Are they potentially sharing? Yes. But in reality, we've added additional lockers and we'll continue to look at that as a need, but our enrollment is decreasing. And that's, again, as we look at that whole trend line, we're going to continue to closely monitor it and have the proper facilities. So we do see a trend in more blended learning, which is a new course instructional process, if you will. And that means that there might be only 3 days a student is in a physical classroom. The other 2 days, they'll go to more of a commons area, that therefore more of a college structure. Nice to transition our juniors and seniors into that type of format so they become more accustomed to. It is also your responsibility on those days where you're not having direct instruction. However, that also affords teachers to have individualized time with students who need additional assistance. So we're going to look at more and more of those strategies, and some districts have really accelerated that process. We're at the very beginning of that stage. Likewise, more and more of our students are looking for additional coursework from universities, be it Heartland Community College, be it ISU. We're very open to that as well. So the physical plan itself, I believe we're well positioned.
So again, some teachers are saying the class sizes are above 30. You just confirmed that. And if a student doesn't pass, the cohorts following make it impossible for the student to take the course again in the classroom because these classes are full. So they're forced to take it online, kind of like this method that we were just talking about. But often their chances of mastery are lower in those online classes than if they had that real-time front face-to-face with a teacher. Is that something that's significant in the decision whether or not to redistrict the schools?
Has absolutely nothing to do with redistricting. That has to do with what courses are available. Both high schools, as I said, have, in our secondary world, we're not as clean. I say the word clean because we have ranges within our elementaries. High school and junior high, you'll have some core subjects or even some non-core, in other words, elective courses, that they will range from. You could have a high of 34 or 35, but then you could have a low of 15. So you look at an overall average for teachers in the secondary world, and we're fairly consistent in that realm. In regards to students finding additional coursework, we are looking at a, if you will, a career development center, where students who have failed the core classes, because those have to be, they have to find a way to master those courses and pass those classes. They can't graduate without them. So we're trying to utilize other systems with certified teachers in those career centers that can help students. If you go online, I totally agree. If you're strictly using online courses with no assistance or mentoring, the success rate of those students is very low, even to the low as 15 to 20%. So therefore, we've discovered you don't do that. In other words, you allow students to have some assistance with certified teachers, and also hopefully if they have other questions, they can go back to their core teacher. But bottom line is, how do we enable students to pass their courses and therefore produce graduates?
So you said overall enrollment is declining a little bit, 200 from last year. Can you explain why?
Don't know the exact reason, but we have some theories in regards to that. One theory would be, first of all, there's been, as we looked at general population itself, there's been a decrease in birth rate. We knew that was going to come through, so that's very natural. But we also have seen, from a local economy standpoint, a reduction of students, and not in the elementary level, but in the secondary level, which may coincide with what's happening with some of our major employers in town.
Are we talking about State Farm? Is there a State Farm effect?
I think there probably is a State Farm effect. And we're not really feeling it just yet because, well, we're feeling it somewhat in regards to perhaps these numbers. But there's not, it's one of those effects that we may see it slowly, but we're also hearing there may be some additional rehiring because of closing of other facilities across the country. So with that said, as we've talked with State Farm, it's been, we're going to maintain the level basically where we are. And my question would be, is that, will those be families with children? Will those be families such as much younger couples that have yet to have children? Therefore, we're not seeing that in our schools yet. So that's a hard one to gauge because we don't track where people are employed.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mary Cullen speaking with Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel. Now, switching gears a bit, word in the community was that Unit 5 would be going a referendum this November. July and August have come and gone, and it's too late to mount an effective campaign. What changed the district's mind about seeking extra money from property taxpayers?
Well, again, the local economy, what was happening locally, what was happening in regards to the uncertainty, it would have been a very, I would say, extremely uphill battle. Plus that, we know we have a structural deficit. We're dealing with that. But we really do want to support our local community and have local community support and spread that through our the process of a referendum. So we'll be ramping up for that, I think, in the very near future. We're looking for a community person to lead that, because you must have a community person. We can't lead it as school officials. But again, the quality of education in Bloomington Normal's, I would say, exceptional. We want to maintain that quality, which means from an education fund standpoint, we need that funding. We haven't had an increase in that over the past 30 years, if I'm correct, no more than 10 cents in the past 30 years. And you can't survive based on that. Definitely costs have increased in regards to our contracts, regards to equipment and supplies and so on and so forth. So with that, we know what's going to have to happen. And we're looking now not at the November because of the primarily the uncertainty of where we are as a community at this current time.
So Unit 5 approved a new teacher contract earlier this year and raised base entry-level salaries to restore some lost wage competitiveness. But the district doesn't have a way to pay for it, and it's using dwindling reserves. Does that make the case for a referendum more difficult?
No, I think it makes the case more powerful, actually. Again, you mentioned high school class sizes of 30. If I look at our elementary classes, we've tried to stay within the range, but we do have classes that are outside the range. We're seeing more and more needs of students. especially in the early pre-K through fifth grade. Areas in special needs, they continue to increase. What public schools do for students is far beyond, I think, what the actual public understands. With that, there's a price tag. And either we continue to support those programs or we have to eliminate programs. And it's that simple. I think the overall message to our community will be, here are our options. We as a community, please support. And certainly I will support, but I will tell you that if we don't support, then it's not a good case scenario. And as far as you can look at co-curriculars, you can look at programs within the regular school day, all those will be impacted. And that's not beneficial for a community, especially if you want a quality educational program. And I also would say this, without a quality educational program, you're not going to have a quality community.
So will Unit 5 have to make significant budget and program cuts before going for a referendum?
Not before, because we have that built into our schedule. But there will become a deadline where we'll have to make those significant cuts if we aren't successful.
So the cuts would have to come afterwards?
Yes. And so the way teacher contracts run and so forth, we truly do our hiring, fulfilling of those contracts by the end of March. So we'd have to actually think of that even before. Again, that's about a year and a half down the road at least, but it's very much on our minds and the strategies of how to lay out that timeline and hopefully have some type of campaign, a campaign that ultimately has to be successful.
Right. So when will a referendum be needed in a critical way, since even with the new funding formula, there isn't a clear sign that the state will be increasing funding for districts by significant amounts?
So we have about a year and a half, and that's our time frame. But again, we'd really like to start the process in November or December of this year.
Unit 5 is also in the process of issuing $16.5 million in working cash fund bonds. How long does the district plan to keep that fund active?
That will basically cover our education fund for 2 years.
Okay.
And including our reserves.
Okay. And what's the cost to keep it active?
Well, again, that cost is, how does that impact your property values? And we don't know what the interest rates will be on those bonds, but we anticipate them being in the 2% to 2.5% to 3% range, and that's the cost.
There continues to be low-level chatter in the community about the prospect of Unit 5 building a field house for sports usable by both high schools. Where do those discussions stand today?
You know, I don't know where those are. So I can't address those. I've not been part of that discussion. Again, I'll just say from our viewpoint, from a school perspective, we have excellent facilities. We'll continue to maintain those facilities because we believe that's what our citizens want of us as school officials and as a school board. We have almost $2 billion in property assets and property equipment, so in buildings. So therefore, we are very strategic in how we continue to maintain those. And I'll also say this, from the perspective of a community-type program, I think having witnessed in other communities, it is definitely an economic boost if it's done well. And my advice would be do it well if it's going to happen. And see what kind of outside then participants and teams and whatever would happen at that point in time. The flow of additional funds because of lodging, restaurants, and various other things, you know, fast food, not just fast food, but your everything retail-wise, that's important. And there are some communities, someone's going to do that. And since we are sort of a hub for IHSA activities, it seems like a very natural fit for us to be hub for other club-type activities, whether it be soccer, volleyball, softball, which we already are, various other sports and activities that now are truly led by clubs, which are remedied by a great amount of traveling. And if you've ever been part of a traveling team, as having a young daughter who was involved in those, it is rather extensive. and you spend quite a bit of dollars in those communities that you play in. So with that, you want quality facilities, and we'll see what happens with this.
Unit 5 School Superintendent Mark Daniel talking with GLT's Mary Cullen. Based on the current schedule, Unit 5 will receive proceeds from the $16.5 million in working cash fund bonds in early November.